Okay, those of you that will be listening to this on the internet, we're having some trouble, I understand, but hopefully we'll get it all worked out and get these messages all on. Kid, do you know what happened to the last week's one? Yeah. Okay, that's the problem. What's the solution? Do what? What'd he say? Ah. Oh. Oh. Wow. I thought he said get a new PT. How's that going to solve the electronic problem? Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer and get into our study. And then next class we'll talk about some prayer requests and things. But those of you that missed Friday night at the Elmores, you missed a wonderful night of fellowship. I mean, really wonderful. Testimonies about salvation. I love those. I absolutely, to me, that's just a great joy to listen to people tell their story of their conversion. And some of them, it just is a wonderful, traumatic thing. And others, I just walked across and, you know, there was no problem at all. And just so many different stories in regard to how we came to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. And but let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of this prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. All right, Heavenly Father, there are so many mandates in regard to us living the Christian life. In 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, separation. Let them starve to death. Some difficult things. But all these things, Heavenly Father, have to be done under the power of the Spirit and spiritual love. Pray, Father, that we can see how we correlate the mandates to separate with spiritual love. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we have completed a rather long study. I didn't plan on it being that long. On arrogance. Now, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're dealing with arrogance. And so we went to the ultimate source of arrogance, and that was Satan. And before man ever came on the scene. And so we've seen how arrogance is so detrimental to Satan, and it's detrimental to us. Now, we're all prone to arrogance. We're human beings, and especially today we have mirrors. We have mirrors where we shouldn't even have mirrors. Mirrors everywhere. The older I get, the less mirrors I want, and the smaller mirrors I want. But we are arrogant. Now, you don't make a decision not to be arrogant. That's the wrong decision. And you don't say, well, I'm going to work on not being arrogant. You don't do that. That gives you false humility and self-righteousness and see how humble I am. And so what do you make a decision about? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you don't make a decision not to be arrogant. Your decision is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith and have Him pour in spiritual love. And by that love, you're not arrogant. So this is going to be part of the momentum. Now, going to spend a little longer on this section of our study, because of what we're seeing in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 is tough. It is a tough passage. separate from believers. If they refuse to work, they don't eat. And think about that from the practical theology. Think about it. Somebody in your family is a lazy bum, and we've all got them. There's somebody in all of our families probably that's a lazy bum. And if they don't work, they don't eat. And let's carry that now to a degree. They're hungry. And so here you are, a Christian, with food, and your brother is hungry. He doesn't eat. How do I do that? How do I do that? And then if he's unruly, doesn't want to live by the standards of the Word of God, then what does the Bible say? Don't associate with him. So here's a member of my family, not just a believer in Jesus Christ, but a member of my family who doesn't live according to the Word of God. In fact, it's not a matter of isolated sin. It's a pattern. They just do not want to. They want to live a life of adultery. They want to live a life of homosexuality. They want to live a life that is totally opposed to the Word of God. Not to associate with them? How do I do that? These are tough questions in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, what we have to understand, we've got to mix 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because it's not so much, and here's what I want to emphasize this morning in my second class, it's not what we are against, it's what we're for. It's what we're for. We're not against lazy bums living on welfare. We are for people working their own and paying their own way. We are not against homosexuality. We are for God's design of a man and woman. We are not against stealing. We are for people leaving their hands off of other people's things. So it's what we're for that needs to be emphasized, not what we are against. And if you don't do it, if you don't obey 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in spiritual love, you're going to come across as arrogant, unloving, all these type of things. Now, having said that, we're going to see this in a few moments in our second class. Even if you do it in spiritual love, you're going to be accused of not loving. Just because you will not have association and friendship and all that with these kinds of people living an unruly life, and no matter what is, you are not a loving person. You are not a Christian. Yes, you are. And we're going to deal with that. But what we're going to look at this morning is not only the solution to arrogance, but also the power in which we fulfill a lot of the difficult mandates that are in the Word of God. That we're going to see in 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3 is a powerful chapter. And it gets right down to it. And so we're going to have to look at some things. And so this is what we're going to be looking at. You don't make a decision not to be arrogant. You make a decision to love as Christ loved. That's your decision. And when you have spiritual love flowing through you, you will not be arrogant. Because as we're going to see, spiritual love is not arrogant. Now, remember the subject is love, not you. It doesn't say you are not arrogant. Spiritual love is not arrogant. If spiritual love is flowing through us, then it makes us look like we're not arrogant. But it's really the love of Christ that is not arrogant. And that's why we want to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to spend some time here that I hadn't planned on, but because of what's going on in 2 Thessalonians, I feel like we have to just go back over some things that we studied years ago, and we're first of all going to look at a life without love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the first three verses is a life, or chapter 13, is a life without love. What does your life look like without love? And life without love is a miserable life for the believer. You do not have spiritual love. You are nothing, you say nothing, and you produce nothing if you do not have spiritual love. I don't care how much doctrine you have. You do not have spiritual love, you are nothing as far as the plan of God is concerned. You say nothing, you are nothing, you produce nothing. Now, introducing the subject matter of spiritual love, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 12, verse 31, the last verse of chapter 12, introducing the next chapter, chapter 13. Now, he says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. And then he says, now I will show you a still more excellent way. A more excellent way that no matter what your spiritual gift is, I'm going to show you a more excellent way of living, a more excellent way of life. And so I'm going to do this by teaching a still more excellent way to live, a superior way to live. And that is a life with spiritual love. That's what he's going to talk about. Now, first thing I want to do, Paul says, give you an idea of a life without love. We got a lot of virtues that we all aspire to in the first three verses. But he's going to point out, without love, these are nothing. And I'm including learning of Bible doctrine, spiritual gifts, production, all this type of thing. So let's take a look and see what he's saying. First of all, you say nothing. Verse 1, if I speak, and verse 13, verse 1, if I speak with the tongue, which actually is the language, I'm not going to work on it as we would if we were studying it in detail, with the language of men and of angels. Wow. You can speak the language of an angel. See? All right. But do not have love. I have become, what have you become now? I have become an echoing noise, a screeching sound, noise, a screeching sound. And I prefer that translation, a noisy gong. The literal translation is an echo that's noisy. And that's the way it should be translated. And a noisy echoing. Now, what's an echo? An echo is glorifying you. We all know what an echo is. I'm sure that all of us at one time or another in our life have been in a valley or on a mountaintop or somewhere and called out our name. And I did it in the Grand Canyon and got hit by my wife. Be quiet. But I wanted to hear it. Go through the Grand Canyon. And hello. And you go, hello, 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 hello. Ah, that's my voice. Going through the mountains, over the hills, through the trees. See? What are we doing? Emphasizing us. And that's what this verse says. If you speak with the sound of the language of men and of angels and do not have love, it's just an echoing sound. Doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't impress anybody. Doesn't mean anything. And it's a noise. That's what my wife told me. Quit making all that noise. See? You're making a noise in the midst of all this beauty and this quietness, and you go hollering through there, it's just a noise that interrupts the tranquility of what's going on. And then it says, a screeching sound, drawing attention again to yourself. And screeching sound, the best way I know how to tell you what that means is, have you ever heard a band warming up? I mean, this guy over here, he's doing his, and this guy over here, he's doing his instrument, and this one over here, it's pitiful. If you have an ear for music, I'm sitting there going, wow, they sound great. But if you have an ear for music, it's terrible. No, they're not together. They're working on their own individual instrument. And that's what you do when you do not have love with all this beautiful language. You're just emphasizing yourself. Now, so verse 1, a life without love, you say nothing. Now, verse 2 is even more emphatic. You are nothing. Verse 2, and if I have the gift of prophecy, that's wonderful. We've just been a couple of years in our class studying prophecy. We studied Daniel. We studied Matthew 24:25. We studied Samuel, chapter 7. We studied the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So we've done a lot of studying on prophecy. And this guy says, understand all, understand the gift of prophecy. You just get up and give prophecy. And then it says, and know all mysteries. Wow. See, I like to sit down and say, you know all mysteries? Yeah, I do. Explain women to me. Well, that's where I draw the line. I don't have that kind. So, all mysteries and all knowledge. Now, that's what I'd like to have. All knowledge, understanding everything. And if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Nothing. So, people, let me just kind of correlate what we're going to be doing in 2 Thessalonians with our study now. You separate from a believer. You do not feed a believer who is a lazy bum. You do not do these things. And you do not have love. You're nothing. You're absolutely, oh, see how wonderful I am. I'm abiding by the word of God. No, you're not. You don't do those things in the flesh. You do those things in spiritual love. Otherwise, you're nothing. You're just drawing attention to yourself. And then verse 3, so we have, you say nothing, you are nothing. Now verse 3, you produce nothing. You produce nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the hungry, it says the poor, the hungry, and if I deliver my body for the benefit of others, it profits me nothing. It profits me nothing. Not only do you give money, you deliver your body to be burned for the sacrifice of someone else. Do not have love. Nothing. That's a life without love, people. And I'm afraid that's how a lot of Christians live their life. They do not know how to be filled with the Spirit by faith. They know doctrine. They know knowledge. What does knowledge do? We've already studied it. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge makes arrogance. Love edifies. Love edifies. How can you say you're edifying when you separate from someone? I'm going to hit this. I'm going to hit 2 Thessalonians square on. Because it's a powerful passage, and a lot of people don't like it. How can you separate and edify? How can you not feed someone that's hungry and edify? How do these things work in regard to this passage and this passage? Most people have a false view about love. That love condones everything. Love gets along with everyone. No, people, those things are wrong. That's not spiritual love. So we're going to have to understand what is spiritual love and how does it work with these other things that we're looking at. So what I want to do now is just take a few points of summary on a life without love. What your life looks like without love. And I'm talking here about spiritual love, not about romantic love, but spiritual love. Not family love, but spiritual love. The love that comes from the Holy Spirit. Point one. In verses 1-3, the believer in the church age is placed in a number of circumstances in the Christian life. He has the ultimate of spiritual gifts, speaks in language of both men and angels. Now, even when I spent a great deal of time on this, I don't know what the language of an angel is. See? I was naive when I was a young man. I thought, a beautiful woman, that's the voice of an angel. That's the language of an angel. Then I figured out, wait a minute, what they're saying is not that of an angel. That's not really good. So I don't know what the language of an angel is. I'm sure it's unbelievable. But even if you have it, but you don't have spiritual love, you say nothing. So speak with the language of men and angels, the gift of prophecy, then has all knowledge. That's remarkable in itself. And he has all faith to go with all that knowledge that he has, or he can move mountain-sized obstacles. That's the idea. You can move mountain-sized obstacles. And his production is of great depth. He gives all his possessions to feed the hungry, even gives his own life. Yet all these fantastic spiritual virtues and assets, there is one constant condition. He is without love. He is without spiritual love. There is one description that keeps coming up. Do not have love. Do not have love. You have to examine your own life. When you start fulfilling the mandates of 2 Thessalonians 3, do you have spiritual love? Do you have knowledge? Do you have doctrine? Do you know what's right and wrong? Do you have spiritual love? So, now, you separate because you have knowledge. You separate because you have spiritual love. Those are two entirely different separations, people. I'm going to show you that this morning. Both will separate. One glorifies Christ, the other glorifies man. So it's not so much what we're against, it's what we're for. That's the great issue in this place. So I do not, point one, I do not have love. This is one of the most pitiful ways to go through life as a believer in Jesus Christ, not having spiritual love. Let me quickly talk about this. Those of you that are familiar with the teaching understand this. Spiritual love. Why do I call it that? Okay. One, it comes from the Holy Spirit. Two, it is for the spiritual creature, the born-again believer. And three, it has spiritual impact. Therefore, I call it spiritual love. When I was studying this years ago, came off of spiritual gifts. Different from human quality gifts. Spiritual gifts. Well, I just decided it's a spiritual love. It comes from the God, the Holy Spirit. It can only come through a spiritual creature, born-again believer, and has spiritual impact in the world. So, this is describing a life not having spiritual love. God is love. Jesus Christ possesses love. And yet, many believers do not have the love of Christ in them. Fundamentally, few pastors teach how to have this love. They'll talk a great deal about love. Pastors will talk around, and that's why so many people are so sloppy in their thinking about love. But it's not just a matter of preaching about it, it's teaching the truth. How do you get this love? What does this love look like? What does this love not do? What does this love do? These kinds of things. So, life without love is an absolute disaster. A life without spiritual love, that is absolute uselessness, wasted life. To live your whole life growing in knowledge and all of service and all this, not growing in spiritual love, wasted life. You get to heaven, that's it, you're in. And be thankful for that. But as far as any kind of rewards in heaven, forget it. You're not going to get them. Now, point two. Paul presents a life of spiritual gifts. It does not matter what your spiritual gift is. It does not matter the maximum knowledge. My life is spent studying the Bible, teaching knowledge of the Word of God. That's what I've been assigned to do. That's my gift. That's who I am. It's what I am. See? But without spiritual love, all that knowledge is nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I say that as one who emphasizes the gaining of knowledge. But if you do not have spiritual love, it's nothing. Go through life, build up a great deal of knowledge of Bible doctrine, understand all mysteries in the church age, and have spiritual wisdom. But without all this knowledge, you do not have spiritual love. You're nothing. You're nothing in the spiritual conflict, in the angelic conflict. Knowledge profits nothing without spiritual love. Point three. You can develop faith that can move any obstacle in life. And talk about the virtue of giving. Give all, including right down to your life. Not only do you give all your possession, all your money for the poor, you give your life. You lay down your life. See? Ultimate. It's nothing without spiritual love. Got to have spiritual love. And people, we all love stories. I do. Appreciate it. Four men in a foxhole. A grenade thrown in a foxhole. One man falls on it to save the other three. That's just remarkable. I admire that. I respect that. I salute him. Pin a medal on him. But in our, what we're talking about, if no spiritual love before God, it's nothing. That's nothing before God if it's not with spiritual love. He may have done it because he's an honorable person. He may have done it because he doesn't like his own life. He may have done it for a lot of different reasons. But if there is no love from the Holy Spirit, profit is nothing. Before man, it probably does. Probably get a medal. Before the Lord, nothing. Sacrifice his life for nothing. And so that's what we're dealing with. Excuse me. At this point. Now, so he has all these things. And if you really desire to live your life without getting involved with anyone and live your own little world, simply live a life without love. You don't want problems. Just live a life without love. Go find somewhere, set up your little home, and stay away from people, and you'll avoid all these things. Now, here's my kicker, though. Here's my kicker. No, you won't. No, you won't. You're still going to have conflict. Paul tried that. Well, I won't marry. I won't get involved in any kind of a business. I'll work. I'll sew tents together. But I'm not going to get any kind of business. Not going to get married. Not going to have a family. I'm going to make it through life free of all that stuff. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to put a thorn in your flesh. I'm going to send a demon after you. And he's going to pound on you. So you're not going to get away with it. So you might as well get into spiritual love, is what I'm saying here. So the Word of God declares that a life without love is an empty life. It's a useless life, a non-productive life, a life where you are not only not united with others, but you are not united with God. You're not united with Christ. Well, I'm doing this all for Christ. I don't even know you. And Christ says that in Matthew. I don't even know you. Didn't know you. I did all these things for you. I didn't know you. See? No spiritual love. Four. For those of you who desire a life without love, you say nothing because you talk to yourself and draw attention to yourself. You are nothing. All of your knowledge, all of your faith, nothing. You produce nothing. Nothing on earth, nothing in heaven. A life without love is a worthless life. It's just worthless before God. Five. This passage makes it extremely clear by stating negatively that spiritual love is what gives impact to your life. Hope you see that. This path, these three verses, makes it extremely clear by stating it in the negative that spiritual love is what gives impact to your life. Spiritual love is what gives meaning to your life, gives dynamics to your life, gives purpose and meaning to your life. So this is what it does as far as life is concerned. Six. New commandment. We didn't start off with that, but that's where we started off with the whole understanding of spiritual love in John. The new commandment for the Christian life is love. In John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. By this all will know that you're mine, if you love one another as I have loved you. Now, what's the old commandment? The old commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the old commandment. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I used to jokingly say, if you wanted to borrow some money from someone, find a day when they're in love with themselves. If they're in love with themselves, you'll get all the money you want. Don't go to them on a day they don't like themselves. You won't get very much. But find a day when they really impressed with themselves. Because it's all about you. Now, the new commandment, Christ up the stakes. Up the stakes. Love one another as I have loved you. So now I'm out of the equation. To love as Christ loved, I no longer think of myself. I think of how Jesus Christ loved me, and that's how I love another person. So my eyes are no longer focused on me, but they're focused on how Christ loves me. And then that's how I love others. So it becomes very important in this impact. Spiritual love is what gives impact to life. And point six, the new commandment. Not the old commandment, the new commandment. Love is basic to the Christ-centered life, the Christ-like life. And it's a life that is saturated and continues to grow in spiritual love. We are commanded to love God, to love Christ, to love others. Love is what gives impact to life. Love is what gives dynamics to life. Love is what gives purpose, spiritual love, what gives purpose to life, direction in life, guidance in life. So when we come to those mandates that we're looking at in 2 Thessalonians 3, it's got to be in love. And I know this isn't going to sound right for the way most people think about love, but because I love Christ, and because I love you as Christ loves me, I'm separating from you. And they don't understand that. They do not understand it. What kind of love is that? That's the love wherewith Christ has loved us. I will do all I can. But you make a decisions, then I have to make decisions in regard to my relationship with Christ. So it becomes very important, point six, in regard to the new commandment. Love is what gives life impact. Love is what gives life meaning, direction. And love is the Christian mark. What do I mean by that? By this, all will know that you're mine. People, if we love the bum, the welfare people, if we love people who live a life in sin, whatever that category of sin is, and we just associate with them and we party with them and we're no different than the world. Why isn't that person having fellowship with that person any longer? They're Christian. What this person's doing is not Christian. Ah, okay. Now, what the world does, because the world ties with these people over here, well, then I don't want to be a Christian. Christian, but if that's the way they're going to be, then that's fine. They're not making their decision about me. They're making their decision about Christ. They're making their decision about the Word of God. They're making their decision about what the Word of God says. Not about me. It's not about me. That's why you do it in spiritual love. If you do it in judgment, in ridicule, then it's about you. If you do it because of your relationship with Christ, because of the positive, then draws attention to Christ. See? This is what Christ says. This is what the Word of God says. Now, they come out against the Word of God as they do today. They come out against Christ as they do today. That's fine. Because it's not about me. It's about Christ. It's about loving as Christ loved. So we have to understand the truth about spiritual love. And I'm going to constantly keep relating it because it just makes such an impact if we understand it, for our study in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. All right, point 7. We need 5 pillars in the Christian life. 1, filling of the Holy Spirit. 2, faith. 3, knowledge. 4, hope. But all of these are of no value without the 5th, spiritual love. Spiritual love. A life of knowledge, faith, hope, power, all these things, but without spiritual love, is not a life honorable to the Lord. Spiritual love does not minimize the importance of the filling of the Holy Spirit, people. Spiritual love does not minimize the necessity of the growth of the knowledge of the Word of God. Spiritual love does not minimize faith. Spiritual love does not minimize hope. It enriches hope. But what we have to understand is the place where spiritual love fits into our Christian life, especially under the fulfilling the mandates that we'll see in 2 Thessalonians. Point 8. You begin to live the Christ-like life when you begin to live under the new commandment. When you begin to love as Christ loved, not as you love, not as your human ideal of what love is. That's what most people do. They have their own ideal of what they say. This is the same view with God. If I were God, these things would not be happening in the world. There cannot be a true God with so much hunger going on in the world, with so much hatred going on in the world, so much anger going on in the world, of people starving to death in the world, wars in the world. What kind of God is that? If I were God, these things would not be. And therefore, they conclude, if you really love, it doesn't matter whether someone is a lazy bum living on welfare. It doesn't matter if someone's living an adulterous life. It doesn't matter if someone's living a homosexual life. These things don't matter. Love is greater than these things. People, love is not greater than righteousness. And that's the important point I'm going to be making. Love is not greater than righteousness. Righteousness directs spiritual love because it comes from a righteous God, the Holy Spirit. Does not counter righteousness. So anytime you wanted to talk about love, you got to talk about righteousness. And you'd be surprised how many times throughout the Word of God, love and righteousness are right there together in the same verse. You cannot study righteousness without love. You cannot study love without righteousness. You'll get off on either one. You study love without righteousness, boy, you're going to get way out of line. Study righteousness without love, you're not going to understand the impact of righteousness. So it's so important for us to understand important truths. So point 8, you begin to live the Christ-like life. You begin to live under the new commandment, loving as Christ loved. This is, you begin to live the Christ-like life when you begin to love one another as Christ loved. This requires, here we go, knowledge of doctrine. This demands the filling of the Holy Spirit. This love works in spiritual gifts. You have a spiritual gift, if you don't have love, you're going to blow it. But if you use your spiritual gift and spiritual love, it's going to be phenomenal. I don't know what my spiritual gift is. You don't have to. We do not have to know what most of the spiritual gifts are. There are a few you want to know. If a young man has a gift of pastor teacher, he wants to know that so that he can start thinking that way, training that way, getting that kind of understanding and learning in school. But I don't know what my spiritual gift is. But you know what? I look back over this past year. I've been growing in the Word, walking in the Spirit, to my best of my ability. And I start looking around. You know what? I have the gift of giving. I don't even have much money, but I give what I have. I have the gift of encouragement. I never knew that. I'm at work, working away, and somebody comes up and starts talking to me. And I find myself encouraging them. I have that gift. I didn't know I had that gift. I have the gift of hospitality. I love having people over at the house. I love entertaining. I love having them there. I love making sure they're comfortable. You know what? Got the gift of hospitality. See? So these are the kinds of things that you start learning as you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. But you don't have to go out and wonder what my spiritual gift is. Got to find out what my spiritual gift is and then go use it. Years ago, before we put it on the internet, I did a long series, Everything You Wanted to Know About Spiritual Gifts and More. And every spiritual gift comes with a warning. You can be taken advantage of. Every spiritual gift can be taken advantage of. Spiritual gifts, just to give you an idea of helps. Well, people take advantage of you. People just take advantage of you, and you don't know where to draw the line. Well, I'm supposed to help them, and they call at 3 a.m, and, you know, want me to come over, and there's a roach in the house, so I've got to get over there and take care of it. See? No, you don't want to be taken advantage of your spiritual gift. So this requires the leading of the Holy Spirit and the understanding of spiritual love. So it does require knowledge of doctrine. It does require the filling of the Spirit. But it demands an understanding of being filled with the Holy Spirit and understanding His love. And without spiritual love, everything else is useless, as we've already seen. So no Christian virtue is precious, valuable, until it is mixed and guided by spiritual love. That's just the fact of the matter. There is no virtue in the Christian life that in and of itself is of value without spiritual love. Okay? And we're talking about the spiritual love that comes from God, the Holy Spirit. So you've got to know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to enjoy this love. Love is a great issue in the angelic conflict. Point 8. Love is the issue in the angelic conflict, in the eternal conflict. How can a loving God cast His creatures into judgment? How can He do that? Spiritual love. How can He do that and still be a loving God? People, He loves in that He gave you the way out of that. That is the inevitability. That is inevitable. We're all unrighteous. We're all impure. We're all headed for condemnation. We're all under condemnation. But what this loving God did, He sent His Son. He provided the way out. So in regard to our study in 2 Thessalonians, I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll feed you. Even though you didn't want to work and you're hungry, I'm going to give you food. Why? So you can go work at a job I found for you. And you don't get to quit the job at the end of the day. See, that's the idea. That's what love does. I'll help you lift this burden. I'll help you through this crisis you're under. I'll help you through this addiction you're under. I'll help you through what you're trapped under in sin. That's what spiritual love does. Doesn't condone it. Well, that's just the way they are. That's what happened, though. No, that's not spiritual love. Spiritual love does not condone immorality. Spiritual love does not condone living a life outside of the plan of God. But what spiritual love does do, it will help. It will lift the burden. So it's easier for you to get up. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Restore another believer in a spirit of gentleness. That's very important. Restore them. Though you are spiritual, do it with the Spirit. Spiritual love. restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, not judgment, gentleness, realizing they're in a jam, they're in a conflict. I mean, this is tough stuff. Even when we get into 2 Thessalonians about the lazy bum, I'm going to have fun with it, but being a lazy bum is a difficult thing. That's just the way you are. I've often said, if I were a parent, I think I could know how to handle any kind of teenage problem except the potato couch. Just wants to sit and do nothing, doesn't care about anything, has no interest. The house potato, yeah. Couch potato. I wouldn't know what to do. You can't embarrass them. You can't beat them up. You can't find, but if they're rebellious, that means there's energy there. All I need to do is direct it. Find something they're interested in and go with that. But the person that just flat doesn't care about anything, those are tough. But here what we're dealing with is understanding these things in spiritual love. So we have to help one another, help the other believer in spiritual love. Not condone what they're doing. Not go along with what they're doing. Not tell them it's all right. It's just the way you are. No. If you're ready, I will help. I will be there to help. So remember, this is the more excellent way. And the more excellent life is a life of love. Point 9. You may have a more excellent life. You may have a superior spiritual gift. More spiritual than, more spectacular than others. You may have superior knowledge than everyone else. And boy, there's nothing like finding somebody who's so proud of their knowledge and they flaunt it. They just want everybody to know they know more than anybody else. You may even have superior faith to anyone else. You may have a superior skills than anyone else. But if you do not have spiritual love, you're nothing. You're absolutely nothing. The Word of God declares that the more excellent life, the superior life, is a life lived in spiritual love. That's the more excellent way. Someone very easily could have much less faith than you and still live a superior life to you. How about that? Someone could have less knowledge than you do. A lot less knowledge than you do and live a more superior life, a more excellent way than you do because they live in spiritual love. You don't understand that. Because you think knowledge is the whole deal. You think your faith is the whole deal. You think your service is the whole deal. No. They don't have all of that, but they have spiritual love because they know how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, this is because you've got to understand how to be filled with the Spirit, the importance of being filled with the Spirit, the importance of the fruit of the Spirit, of spiritual love. With spiritual love, is what gives quality, virtue to anything else that you may have. Superior or spiritual love is the more excellent way of life. Spiritual love is a superior way of life. Spiritual love is basic principle of the Christian life. And the new commandment by Jesus Christ was not develop your faith so that you have faith like mine. It was not to learn knowledge so that you have knowledge like I do. No, it wasn't. The new commandment, simple, to love one another as I have loved you. That's how you do it. Not because I know more than you, I am better than you, all that, no, is because I love as Christ loved. So, this is the whole issue that we're going to be looking at in regard to spiritual love. Now, let's move on to our passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, describes a life with spiritual love, when spiritual love is present. Now, what does that mean? That means when you're walking in the power of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is able to pour in spiritual love into you. So let's just read 4 through 7 and see what a life with love looks like. We see what a life without love looks like. Now let's see what a life with love looks like. Love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Spiritual love is not arrogant. So people, if you find yourself bragging, if you find yourself arrogant, if you find jealousy in your life, nobody has to tell you you're not in the Spirit. I know it. I know it. You know what? I'm jealous. There's no spiritual love. That's a flag. I'm arrogant. That's a flag. I'm not in the Holy Spirit. How could I be arrogant and be in the Holy Spirit? I can't. So it's a flag that comes up. So verse 4 is powerful, a life with love. You're long-suffering, long-patient. Now, well, that's just the way I am. I'm just short, patient, and that's the way. No, I'm sorry. You don't get to get by with that. I know Christians that like to do that. That's the way I am. Get along with it. No, the Bible doesn't say that. Everybody's to get along with the way you are. Nowhere will you find that in the Bible. You have to adjust. You have to get into spiritual love, not everybody else. So you may be short, patient by nature, but the Holy Spirit can change your very nature. That's why, people, faith is antithetical to our natural life. Our self, the old flesh self, does not want to live by faith. It wants to live by glorifying itself. So verse 4 is powerful. Love is long patient, long suffering. See? Long tempered. Doesn't matter what you are by nature, by your flesh nature. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Love is kind. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Restore such a one in a spirit of kindness. Kindness. You don't go judge him. You know what? We'll see this in the 2 Thessalonians in a few minutes. You're nothing but a lazy, no good for nothing bum. You don't want to work. You want to go down and get your welfare check and just live off the government. You're just a bum. No, that's not what this is about. That's not kindness. That's not kindness. That's judgment. That's judgment. Let me tell you what I am for. I'm for glorifying Christ. We glorify Christ when we do not put a burden on others. Do not put a burden on others when you go out and work. It's your own job. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. And so it is kind, not jealous. Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders are running on a socialistic, communistic tickets. Many Americans are all for that. Why? They're jealous of what the rich have. They want to get rid of the rich. And they are jealous that there are people really rich. They're jealous they can drive through a poorer part of town where they live in mansions. Big fountains in the front yard. They can afford all of this stuff. They can afford to even have somebody do their lawn. I couldn't even afford to keep up the yard. I couldn't afford to pay the electric bill in that house. And they're jealous of that. And they want that changed. I want what he has for me. Forget that he's worked. Forget all that. No, I deserve it. Why do you deserve it? Well, I just deserve it. I'm a human being. I deserve it. I'm me. See? They're jealous. I know a lot of people like to say capitalism runs on greed. Welfare runs on greed. Socialism runs on greed and jealousy of what other people have. And the best way to combat all of that? Spiritual love. Spiritual love. Okay? Verse 5. Spiritual love does not act unbecomingly. See, a chair flying across the room is acting unbecomingly. We'll see more about that in a little bit. Spiritual love does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account wrong suffered. 6, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. There's how you help one another with the truth. Spiritual love bears all things, believes all things. What does that mean? Does it believe wrong? No. We'll find out what it means. Hopes all things, endures all things, and then verse 8, spiritual love never fails. So we'll continue here next Sunday morning working on fighting arrogance. How do I fight arrogance? It's the same thing as how do I fight jealousy? How do I fight anger? How do I fight all these things? You don't make a decision about those things. You make a decision about spiritual love, which means you make a decision about the Holy Spirit. So we'll close and we'll begin here next Sunday morning. Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. Because quite frankly, Father, we'd go after it. We'd work on not being jealous. We would work on not being angry. We would work on not being arrogant. But your word makes it very clear. We don't have to work on them. All we have to do is rest in faith in the Holy Spirit. And then we will not have these things in our life. Father, pray your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning, use them to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.